Getting from how to why. With science stymied to explain how life originated, maybe we've been asking the wrong question. If someone throws a brick through your window at midnight, you can't see who did it in the dark. But that's secondary to asking why they did it. Clearly, our lives have purpose, while nature, we are told, has no purpose. It just is. Being without purpose brings no sleepless nights to quarks, atoms, stars, and galaxies. Why go off on a tangent and create living organisms that are driven by food, mating, and other reasons to be alive? We believe that the absence of purpose is inconceivable. As long as you are human, A leads to B for a reason. There is no other way to use the brain. Without purpose, no events exist, at least not as perceived through a human nervous system. Let's say that you've been marooned on a desert island for 60 years. One day, out of the sky, a package parachutes to Earth, and when you open it, there are two objects inside, a smartphone and a desktop computer. Both run on batteries. It wouldn't take you long to figure out that the smartphone, even though it looks nothing like the telephones you knew from the 1960s, works as a telephone. Because you know why it exists, you have a fairly easy path to using it. You wouldn't need to know how the smartphone worked once you made the connection between punching in numbers and hearing a voice answer at the other end. But the computer is another story, because in the world you left behind around 1965, computers were in their infancy. And nothing about a desktop computer looks like the massive IBM mainframes you saw on television. Fiddling around, you would need hundreds of hours to figure out, by hit and miss, what you're dealing with. This strange machine isn't the same as a typewriter or a television, even though it has both a keyboard and a screen. Let's say you are mechanically inclined, and you are able to open up the inner workings of the computer. Inside, you see a wealth of parts that make no sense to you. Is it conceivable that on your own, you could grasp how a microchip works? Even if you did, would that information tell you how to run the computer's software? The answer is most likely to be no on all counts. Unless you know why a computer exists, the same way you know why a telephone exists, taking apart the machinery won't get you from how to why. Many airline passengers don't know how an airplane manages to fly, but they get on board because they need to travel somewhere. The why of the airplane is enough. A plane exists to take you places faster than a car or train. So why does life exist? It certainly doesn't need to. All of the chemical components and quantum processes that interact to create life were sufficient on their own already. Like Frankenstein's monster being jolted with electricity from a lightning storm, it would be very helpful if some basic physical trigger, the spark of life, automatically made life happen. But no such trigger exists. Looking out over the vast panorama of living organisms, we are stuck with the undeniable fact that life always comes from life, not from dead matter. Even in laboratories where new forms of bacteria are being engineered, so-called artificial life is still a recombination of DNA being sliced and diced. If the manufacturer wants to design a specific microorganism that feeds on petroleum, which would be very useful in cleaning up oil spills at sea, devising this new life form has a chance of success only by working from pre-existing organisms that feed off oil in some form. Without a goal in mind, tinkering around with DNA basically goes nowhere. Nature, however, wasn't so lucky. It had to build living organisms blindly, without knowing in advance what needed to be built. Nature wouldn't even know if it made a mistake along the way. Because unless you know where you're going, no choice is right or wrong. Billions of years ago, oxygen atoms had no inkling that life was around the bend. No one told them that sunlight was going to be harvested, or that they'd be necessary in organic chemistry. Life brought about huge adaptations on our planet, and yet oxygen atoms don't adapt. Most scientists would shrug their shoulders and insist that blind nature created life through automatic deterministic processes. The bonding of atoms leads to simple molecules. The bonding of simple molecules leads to more complex molecules. When these molecules are complex enough, life appears. As far as mainstream science is concerned, this wholly unsatisfactory story is basically all there is. To arrive at a better story, we must explain why life was needed in a system, planet Earth, that was perfectly sufficient without it. Knowing the how isn't useless. We're not claiming that. But imagine that you want to buy a house. You go to the bank, and the loan officer presents you with a stack of papers to fill out. He explains that each piece of paper is necessary. You can't skip any. And if your application is found wanting at any step of the way, the deal collapses. Millions of people have gritted their teeth and filled out every piece of paper for one and only one reason. They want a house. Having a goal in mind, they are willing to endure the necessary steps to get there. Nature had to go through thousands of linked steps in order to produce living organisms. Do we really buy the story that this happened without a goal? It's as if a customer came into the bank, filled out dozens of forms at random, and one day was told, "You own a house. We know you didn't come in for one, and you had no idea what those pieces of paper were for." Now we know what is lacking if we want to understand where life came from. Without a why, the whole project is too incredible ever to happen. Knowing that life is the goal, rather than having to rely on random change, would make everything 1,000 times easier to explain. But suddenly a new mystery has opened up. If life was part of the cosmos from the start, what about mind? At the instant of the Big Bang, was the human mind inevitable? The reason we are forced to ask it is simple. Unless the universe is mindful, it's impossible to create mind out of a mindless creation. As Sherlock Holmes liked to remind Watson, once you've eliminated every other possible solution, the one that remains must be true. In this case, a universe that is thinking all the time sounds incredible, but every other answer, as we will see, turns out to be wrong.